broadcasting this morning from beautiful Prescott, Arizona. Joined Brent Smith talking about the history of Whiskey Row from a first-hand perspective, someone who's worked here on the Strip for 46 years. In all that time, do you have a two or three memory highlight? I mean, I don't know if you could ever top Junior Bonner at the age of 21 coming in town and Steve McQueen, but...
Actually, I do have a couple of highlights, and one of them was a little bit later in the 80s. I worked at the Western Bar, Ken's Western Bar, which now is Whiskey Row Pub. And we used to have entertainment there, quote unquote, several nights a week, and it had kind of an older clientele, but a lot of the court people also went there. There was a duo called Jack and Marzell, and he was a Native American man, probably in his 60s by then. He played guitar, and his wife, Marzell, accompanied him. And she played keyboard with one hand, trumpet with one side of her mouth, and sang in between. And we would just sit there. We were all in awe, you know. And, of course, by the 80s, I was into my 30s. And I worked there for quite a few years for the Waymans. They were an old Prescott family who had the Western Bar here in town. And another one was a Cinco de Mayo. And I had a lot of friends that were cowboys, of course, out at the ROs, and the ranch guys would come in here on weekends. And when I worked at the Palace years ago, we kept $10,000 in the safe because we would cash every ranch check that came in.
And of course, you would work as a bank.
And, of course, we knew how much they were going to spend in the bars here on the row. So Shell Dunbar, like I said, the original owner that I worked for, kept enough cash that those boys would come in, they'd sign it, and we'd, like I said, had $10,000 every Friday. And the ranches alternated weekends, they would come in, and we'd cash their checks. And then on Sunday nights, generally about
three times
between between 11 and midnight, the ranch foreman would bring a truck in and drive down Whiskey Row and honk. And they brought them in. Then the cowboys would go out and get in the back of the truck, and they would haul them back out to the ranch for Monday morning.
And that safe was probably about three times heavier at that time.
Indeed it was. And, of course, you know, in those days, banks had such limited hours. It didn't, you know, and there were no ATMs, no online banking, no nothing. So you had to have either cash or a check to give to us at the bar so that we could facilitate their needs. You know.
Serve their customer.
Yes, and many a night on Sunday nights, and I was taking a Sunday night shift because I was working another job, and on Sundays at 11 o'clock or midnight, there'd be some cowboy come straggling in that had missed his ride. And so my friend Mary Alice Young was a bartender here on the row. We would pack him up in the car and drive them out Williamson Valley Road, either out to the 7-Up, the YOLO, the ROs, dropped the boys off, and they had to walk back into the ranch, which was still a couple of 3 miles, so they would be sober by the time they got there.
Oh man. I bet there wasn't very many of them that missed that truck more than once.
You know, if they met a nice young lady, spent the evening dancing, weren't paying attention, you know, it would just get away from them. So we'd always try to make sure the boys got home because it was good, and of course, Shell, the owner, would say, "I'll give you gas money. Just take them home. I'll give you gas money."
And that was a Cinco de Mayo. You'd mentioned that.
That was every weekend. We had a different ranch getting paid out. But mm-hmm. I was going to tell you, one Cinco de Mayo, the first Cinco de Mayo actual celebration we had here in town, I was working on a Sunday night, and there was no entertainment. Everything was over from the weekend. Here come all these cowboys. I think they were off the ROs. And they've got this big old stack of brand-new red, white, and blue bunting that had been stretched up down the row here as decorations for the Cinco de Mayo parade. And, of course, I don't know how they got it down. They'd been hooting and hollering and yay-hooing around, and they come in, and, of course, I freaked out. I was young, and I'm like, and Shell, the owner, slept upstairs at the palace at the top of the stairs, and he was in his 70s already. And so the boys would come in there hooting and hollering, and there were all of these elk heads. 7 of them hung across the thing. They started stringing the banners up across there. And, of course, you know me. I thought, oh, my God, I've got to stop this. So I went running out there. So, of course, they got a hold of me and put me on the floor like a cow, and two of them sat on me while they finished putting the banners up through the thing. So, of course, the banners are all up there. And by this time, with all the scream, Michelle comes up to the top of the stairs and yells, "What the hell is going on down there? It's midnight. You people ought to know." Anyway, just carrying on. So next thing, he comes downstairs, puts his pants on, and says to the boy, I'm on the floor still with them sitting on me. He says, "Let my bartender up. How do you think you're ever going to get another drink in here?" So they let me up anyway, and he had the boys start to take the banners down. So, of course, by this time, Prescott police come because somebody had called them on the row. So Shell comes in here and is down there, and here comes the policeman in, and they said, "Well, we need to issue some kind of a citation or do something about this." Shell said, "Did I call you?" And the policeman said, "No." He said, "Well, obviously, we are taking these down and packing them for safe storage for next Cinco de Mayo, so you can just get your asses out of here." And so then, of course, he says to me, he says, "Now get up and buy these boys all a drink." So that was kind of a funny situation there.
Way to defuse it.
Yeah,
his
exactly.
name was Shell?
Shell Dunbar, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Dunbar, I keep it, you said
Dunbar
that earlier.
Stone is here. They're an old family from here.
And I, not to say movies are all that accurate. Is that Dunbar an Old West name that Kevin Costner stole for his character in Dances with Wolves? Wasn't that his name? Dunbar?
Yep, there was.
Dunbar.
It was. It's an old name here. There's Dunbar Stone and a lot of Dunbar things here in this area. So I think it is. They've been in Prescott a long time.
He stole the name from Prescott. Did Prescott get any royalties off of that movie?
Probably not.
So, and for in that amount of time, 46 years, what's most significantly changed?
What has changed the most for me is how Prescott has changed from a working town into more of a retirement and tourist town. Because when I was growing up and even when I worked here, Prescott was only really busy in the summertime. You know, a lot of people from the valley had summer cabins here in Groom Creek and out White Spar. So as it became more of a place to live year-round, then it kind of changed the dynamics of things here on the row. And, of course, after the thing with the Hells Angels in 1978, they took public drinking off the streets. So you couldn't take anything from bar to bar. You couldn't buy packaged goods to go to the square and drink or anything. So it began to change the whole. And I think as society has changed, and as we know now, things have actually, they were more violent than it seemed like, but they were just a fist fight and everybody got thrown out of the bar for the night, whether you caused it or whether you were the victim of it. It didn't matter. Everybody went. Now you never know what's going to happen, you know.
Now, you had mentioned Matt. You'd mentioned the boiler. You'd mentioned the palace, Jersey Lily.
Right.
Did you ever work at the birdcage?
I graduated from high school with the guy whose parents owned the birdcage. And I would go up there and help them occasionally with things, but I never actually worked in there. I worked over here at Lizards, which used to be the Lido, a couple of times. But I always stayed really close to the row here. So,
and the birdcage, that burned down, what, about 8 years ago, 5 years ago?
Just about 8 years ago, like I think June 24th on a Tuesday night because I was working when it burned. So,
and what did they ever find the cause of that?
Oh, absolutely. There was a little restaurant next door to it, and there was a malfunction. And, of course, the building is so old, something was left on. And it was early. It was 6 o'clock. And it was on a, I think it was, like I said, on a Tuesday. I'm not sure if they were only open for lunch, I think. And something was left plugged in, and it caused that fire. But, you know, fortunately they saved the bar, and that bar in there is one of the original bars from the late 1800s that came here to Prescott. So, because the roof collapsed down over the face of the bar like that, so it kept the water damage from the firemen, you know, taking it down. But it's now a little activity and special events.
They did a nice job with that.
It is nice.
Well, thankfully, it was so early in the morning. That could have been a very different story.
It wasn't early. It was 6 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, early in the evening. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I was working shift. I came in at 2. And at 6 o'clock, somebody saw the smoke coming out of that little restaurant, which was, those were all part of the same buildings. You know, buildings on.
Early for the bar.
Yeah.
At
yeah.
11 o'clock, that could have been a different story on a
yeah.
night.
Well, Tuesday wasn't, you yeah. know, wasn't that busy of a night. So they evacuated everybody, of course, and couldn't save the building. The roof collapsed, and the roofs on those buildings connected like three buildings. Then there were, or three businesses, and they were petitioned inside. So it just ruined everything in those three businesses.
Now, do you consider yourself someone to have a photographic memory? Because in my experience and in the years we come up here the first Saturday in December when we do the broadcast live here on the balcony at the Jersey Lily for the Christmas parade and the courthouse lighting and the start of the Christmas season, I don't think I've ever seen you take an order. You just know what somebody wants when they walk in and have
most,
it ready.
Most often, that's correct. But that's just from years of practice. And you know what? Most of the time, it's a lot better than talking to them. So you just make the drink and stick it up there. And people consider it fine service. I consider it self-defense. So,
I guess if you had a regular for 10 years, there's only so much you want to hear him say anymore.
And I will tell you, the bartender's biggest boon was the smartphone. Because there are days in here when I could tend bar and never talk to anyone. I know what they drink. I put the drink up there. They just set it out on the other side of their phone while they're texting or doing whatever they're doing. And I just fill it up and set it back there. And then they've been here a couple hours either doing work or whatever, socializing on the phone. And then they tell me, thank you. The service was wonderful as usual. Well, I didn't do anything but fill up their beer bottle or their glass. And so that was a huge boon because after that many years of Whiskey Row, you've pretty much heard everybody's personal thing. So, you know.
Now, we got one more segment here in this at 7 o'clock hour as we wrap up with Brent Smith. And when we get back, I want you to think people that you have served over the years. Is there anybody notable that name-wise or local politicians? I mean, the few times I've come up here, it seems like, at least in the last 5 years, this was the place to be for anybody that was known. I mean, you would see, as I mentioned, Charlie Arnold. You'd see business owners. You'd see side deals going on. There's got to be a few interesting people you've waited on over that course of time. We'll cover that right after this. It's Saturday morning. You're up with Rosie on the house.